Welcome to the Landmarks Preservation Commission, August 10, 2011 meeting. First item on the agenda is roll call. Those present are Chair McIntyre, Vice Chair Maddox, Commissioners Luce, Pham, Sundell, and ex officio, Commissioner York, and ex officio McClintock. Next item on the agenda, item 2, consent agenda, excusal of absences. Those commissioners who have called in are Commissioner House and Jensen. I move approval of excusal of absences. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Third item on the agenda is old business. Item A is 315 North K Street, Diane Burke, homeowner, and we will begin with a staff report.
Can we invite you up to the table?
I thought we were going to let someone else go.
It's up to the commission.
That makes no difference to me.
And so
we
have an add-on to the to the agenda, and so it's really up to the commission if
I was
going to
give the commission a couple minutes to read over that. You want to wait a few minutes and do that? Makes no difference to me.
My decision.
All right, I'll make the decision. We'll go ahead and do that. I can arrange it. All right, we'll do new business. Item 3B first, which is 724. Do you want to come up to the table? 724, Johnson Cox Printing. This is Mr. Rick, is it Rauscher?
Rauscher, yep.
Of Rauscher Construction.
Commerce.
724 Commerce.
Yes.
Did I not?
You neglected to say Commerce.
Okay, thank you.
Oh.
Having that problem today.
And to start with, I'll give the staff report on 724 Commerce. Built in 1888. This is a add-on that I just did the staff report today and learned about it, I think, yesterday afternoon. The city's asking the owner to help with a project and a problem. So, built in 1888, the commercial building is a contributing structure located in Old City Hall Special Review District. And the current proposal is to infill the rear openings for the purpose of increasing security in that area. And if everyone could see this, this is what we're talking about. And you have copies. That I took some staff photos today, too. You can circulate that. The existing openings it's been used by transients, and there's some problems there. The existing openings are enclosed, the surrounds, with non-historic siding, which will be removed. And the proposed material is 2x6 covered with T111. One metal door will be installed in the center area of the proposed work area, as shown in the design plan. And again, this is another photo of the area that's going to be enclosed, and then the center area will have a new metal man door. And to the left of that area is another opening with decorative elements that could be original elements of the building. The columns are located, as I said, if you see photo number 2 of 3 in the staff, in the application, this area is not part of the scope of work other than the replacement of one door with a metal door. The standards for consideration of Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation in the Old City Hall district, and staff asks that you consider standard number 2, the historic character of a property will be retained and preserved. The removal of distinctive materials or alteration of features, spaces, and spatial relationships that characterize a property will be avoided. And analysis, item 1, this building is historically significant as a contributing structure in the Old City Hall Historic District. It was built in 1888, and as part of the Old Historic District, it is listed on the Tacoma, Washington, and National Registers of Historic Places. Item 2, Landmarks Preservation Commission has jurisdiction to review and approve or not approve changes to the building per Tacoma Municipal Code 1307-095 prior to those changes being made by virtue of its status as a city landmark. Item 3, the original exterior siding on the rear commerce elevation of the building has been altered as shown in the photos. The exterior non-historic siding will be removed and covered with T111 plywood siding. Metal door will be installed in the new wall for access to the building, and no other changes are proposed. And as I mentioned, an existing door located to the left of the proposed infill project is proposed for replacement with the metal door. Staff recommends adoption of the above analysis as finding and recommends approval to the commission.
Mr. Rauscher, do you have anything to supplement what's in the staff report?
No, actually, she said everything that we've talked about. Basically, what's going on here is there's been some transients living in this area, and the owner was requested to try to clean it up and secure it to keep them out. So that's what we're trying to do here.
Okay, with that, I will open up discussion to commissioners for comments and questions.
One question, the handrail that's shown in the right hand, or the right hand of the building, is that, will that be left in place?
No, that will be removed. That whole open, those openings will be gone. So
okay.
It just looked like one.
Is that a historic railing? Do we have any idea?
I can't answer that, honestly. It looks like it was actually built 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out an inch and three quarter inch pipe. So.
Yeah. Okay. So it's probably not original. Right.
Yeah. Do you plan? I didn't hear. Excuse me.
Huh?
You're going to remove the railing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it says you're going to remove the existing siding, but this doesn't seem to indicate that.
Yes, that right there. If you look up in the far corner, far bottom corner, right there where the siding's drawn in. And it says
HT111. But what about all the siding that's here and here and here?
I did not write that down there.
So what old siding is being removed?
That is that siding right there.
Just
this
little bit.
This siding right here is all going to be removed.
So all of this is going to be removed?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That, and also, I will add...
Below the lap siding.
Yeah, below the lap. Well, that up there, I want to call
louver.
I'm thinking it's a louver. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a metal louver that I didn't have plan on removing. I was just going to turn around the side, just what you see there, except for those holes to be infilled. And then if you look on, I believe it's page 2,
mm-hmm.
This siding right here, I was planning on removing and installing new.
Oh, down there too?
Yeah, because this is 4-inch grooves, and this is 8-inch grooves, and
yes.
We're just planning on doing it all, make it all look the same.
All consistent.
Yeah.
So you're doing it over here as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you get the siding off, you will see what is original underneath it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yes.
I would think, yes.
Okay. So when you're fastening the new 2x6s, you will be having to go into original.
Right, right. The new 2x6s that I'll be fastening is just in those locations, those three locations, and it is going to be. It's going to fasten to the head and the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you guys, do you have plans for the use of this building in the future?
No, right now it's a printing outfit. It's been a printing outfit for over 100 years. Johnson Cox has planned on keeping it as such.
Because, I mean, the way I see this, I was thinking of this application as like sort of like a temporary screening for the transient until your new use of the building.
No, no.
Those will be taken out and to restore this original archway.
No, as it is right now, this is planned on being permanent. What they had planned on doing is in picture 1, I believe it is, right back inside that first opening,
mm-hmm.
There's a door right there that's been padlocked up for years.
Right.
All
right,
they've been using the garage door for entrance. And what they like to do is to install a man door in that middle or center opening and start using that to go in and out.
Well, we don't even know these arches are original. They could be just from what they put up. We don't know if they're original.
Yeah.
This is basically the surface side of the building,
yeah.
Right? There's
yeah,
the,
right.
The glass
yeah.
front on the...
Right, down at the on Pacific Avenue.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looks like the CMU was added at a
yeah.
later date as well.
Yeah,
I think so.
Possibly
too,
30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no idea what's original there.
No.
And clearly, this looks more permanent. That was just added. I think these are faults. I don't think they're real arches. Maybe there was an arch there. But I don't know. Who knows?
It looks like it's just plywood that was over there.
Right.
And as it is, some of that siding right now is actually falling off. You can see in picture one, you can see it falling off there, and also on that the 4-inch groove with the two cast or two metal columns that run up, the siding's actually falling off over there too. They're just trying to set it up and do their part.
Are there any other comments or questions from commissioners? If there are none, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the application to remove old siding and infill as described at for the property at 724 Commerce Road, City Hall Special Review District.
I would second.
We have a motion and second. Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor,
aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion passes.
And we'll issue a written decision to you, and I can also let the building official,
beautiful,
the building folks know tomorrow morning.
Okay.
With an email.
Okay. So my thoughts is I'll probably run down around noon, go talk to Frank, I believe it was.
Is it Frank?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Okay, Frank. I'll send it to him, and then I'll be in the office tomorrow.
Okay. Beautiful.
Thank you.
You are the contractor.
Yeah.
You know, when you get this removed, if you find anything weird or
something out of the ordinary,
let us know.
Yeah, we'll do.
And take care of the material as much as possible.
Right, right. I did a remodel on Maplewood Elementary School downtown Puyallup.
Yeah.
That was a historical landmark, or is a historical landmark. We had to take extra care of taking stuff apart and putting it together, you know. So
yeah, when you're trying to anchor those perimeter studs into that wall, if it starts crumbling away, you need to let the building official know.
Yeah, time out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you. Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
That's it. All right, back to item 3A, Old Business, 315 North K Street, Diane Burr. You want to come up, or do you want to sit?
Oh, we can sit there. Do you want to stay here?
You're just as close. Okay.
Let's go
up.
Let's go up.
And we'll begin with a staff report.
And thanks for letting the other person go before you. This item is continued from the July 13th commission meeting. And at that meeting, the commission deferred action on the request for consideration of economic hardship pending submittal of additional information to evaluate the request. The staff report on the property was read into the record at that meeting, and the property remains an open enforcement case for the installation of 13 unpermitted vinyl windows. The commission requested the applicant to submit estimates for replacement of the vinyl windows with wood windows, to include information regarding investment properties that had been noted in previous meetings, and to obtain estimates from a real estate professional to verify Pierce County assessor's valuation used to establish the value of the property at 315 North K Street. The commission also asked for a brief statement to better understand the applicant's personal financial situation. The applicant submitted the above information. The applicant also requested copies of the escrow documents, which do not identify the property's location in the North Slope Historic Special Review District, that be submitted to the commission, and they are in the packets. And the applicant noted this in her cover letter in June about the escrow documents, and staff responded to this item in the previous meeting staff analysis section. In addition, I recommended that Ms. Burke add or clarify, present additional information at tonight's meeting for clarification or anything in the staff report that she'd want to add. And time will be allowed after the staff report for that. Staff analysis, the following analysis is in addition to the enclosed October 2008 staff report analysis and minutes and July 13th, 2011 staff report. Item one, on July 13th, the commission deferred consideration of economic hardship pending additional information, which I already read into the record. Item two, the enclosed estimate for fiberglass wood clad windows from Home Depot is almost $31,000. And it includes the material, the labor, the tax, the permits, and hallway. Item three, verification of Pierce County assessed valuation that was used at the last meeting of $233,400 on the property at 315 North K Street. Based on the enclosed Windermere real estate market analysis, similar property indicates property value of $219,000 for listings, that is property for sale, and range of $189,900 to $199,000 for comparative homes that have sold. Item 3A, Windermere's analysis indicates the property is potentially worth less than Pierce County's assessed valuation. The difference is in the range of $14,400 for the list price and $34,400 for house sale prices. So it was anywhere from 6 to minus 19% less. Is that right? No. Item 3B, in summary, if the house at 315 North K Street was sold using the amount put into the house since purchase, I think it was $28,000 that I reported last month, and the current value, there would be a loss in the range of $68,530 based on Windermere's estimates to the loss that was estimated last time, close to $71,000. Pierce County. Item 3C, applicant's investment property information, and the applicant shared with staff IRS tax form and personal income statement. A summary of this information includes a sale scenario of the property, those properties. For the year 2010, the asset value of the three properties totaled $879,450. I used the a Zillow estimate. The Pierce County estimate is within about 10,000 of that. If all the properties were sold, the net profit, and I just want to correct that, net profit realized could total $32,440. The current cash position shows a negative $21,544, and I just wanted to explain this at this meeting that it's just kind of a snapshot of the information that was provided to us. The purchase price of each property was deducted from the potential current market value using Zillow. In addition, the transfer fees, commission fees, taxes, etc., 10% were deducted to get the potential profit or loss amount. It was a profit. The cash position amount was the result of subtracting rental expenses from rental income. And also on the schedules, it showed additional information on the IRS forms, showed an annual loss for each of the 5 years that she provided information on. And the range of that included depreciation was a negative $10,000 to a negative $25,000. And 3 of the years were a negative $25,000. And item 4, personal financial statement. The applicant shared with staff information on personal income and expenses. The applicant reported monthly expenses total approximately 14% over take-home pay. In addition, included in these expenses is repayment of an emergency loan totaling $500 per month from her 401k retirement fund. And the 14% overage is paid from a personal loan on a monthly basis. And I know that perhaps the Burke family will add clarification or additional information on investment property as well. Recommendation: staff recommends approval of the above analysis and July 13th staff report analysis as findings, and recommends the above information submitted by the applicant results in a plausible case of a challenging financial situation based on personal tax records of investment property and personal income and expenses. Thank you.
Do you want to add anything at this time, or do you want to wait for questions from the commissioner?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. I think it's very clear that I'm not a very good business person by what Tony just read.
Well, also the market, though.
No, it's... anyways. Because it's not important, but I got very excited about fixing up property when I moved down to Tacoma about 8 years ago. And I loved being close to Wright Park, and I loved fixing things up. But when you fix things up, you're not usually making a profit. And I think, you know, my lesson learned here is you have to maintain a property, not improve a property. But it was all, it still is. I still love to make beautiful things and have, anyways. So what I do want to do is thank Tony and my parents and my sister for coming down, and especially Tony and my parents for working on this, because they've worked on this, because I used to work from home 100% of the time, and now I work from home less than 50% of the time, and I'm up in Renton, and I haven't always been able to make the meetings with Tony, and my parents, regardless of whether I can make it or not, my parents have come down and worked on this issue with Tony. So I know it's been a lot of work, so I really want to acknowledge that. And then I also wanted to send out an apology for anyone I've offended here, because I thought last time I was in here, the decision was made so quickly that my application was incomplete after my parents and Tony worked on it for like 2 months, once a week. I thought that people only usually make such quick decisions if they're offended or insulted. So I wanted to extend an apology if I've insulted anyone in any way for that, because it was not intentional. And I think we know, at least from what I've written and what's been on the record, that I worked with Tacoma Public Utilities for these windows. I used a recommended contractor. I worked with Mark Percy on not just my house that I'm in that's under review today, but I worked with Mark Percy, who I think is a great guy and was very helpful, and I worked with him on my 620 North L Street, which is historic, and my 624 North Ainsworth. And the 620 North L Street is one that I got a I got a loan without having to pay the tax on it, and it was a loan through the city, which I really appreciate, a weatherization program that does something like that, and I was able to put in windows and insulate the whole thing. I came out to find through this experience that I shouldn't have done that to the siding or to the windows, but at the same time, I appreciated someone working with me. And then I used him a year later as well on my 624 North Ainsworth property, and because that wasn't electric, and my tenants weren't low income there, I wasn't able to get a low income weatherization package, and I just replaced a few windows. Again, that house was historic. I used the same contractor who's always been on the list and still is on the list, because I go down periodically and get the list, because I'm surprised that anyone that doesn't pull permits is continued to be on the list. But I have checked on that, and he's remained on the list. And I think the work he's done really well has been well, but it hasn't been permitted. And I don't know whether that's something he knew about or whether he was not educated about. So I do have three homes, and none of them should have been worked on like they were. But I did have good faith in that contractor, and I had good faith in Tacoma Public Utilities because it is part of the city. So when, you know, Reuben McKnight came out to my house 3 years ago, I did not believe at all that this was wrong. And I actually called Mark Percy up, and I checked with him, and I checked with my guy that was installing the windows. So I apologize for that misunderstanding. I was very convinced after working with Tacoma Public Utilities for about 5 years on three properties that I hadn't done anything wrong at all, and that I had done my due diligence. So again, an apology there about that. I think that kind of summarizes where it's been. I think everyone knows here as well that when I purchased my 315 North K Street home, which I'm here about tonight, is that it had vinyl windows in the front of the house. And I simply, you know, replaced the windows on the side and the back, and there's 47 inches worth of space between my neighbor. Well, it's been a vacant house for 2 years because he abandoned it. But there's only been 47 inches of space. No one can see those vinyl windows. No one can see the vinyl windows where there's a garage in the back, and they can only see the vinyl windows in the front of the house that's facing the street and on one side. So I did, since my neighbor has a mixed-use house right next to it that's vinyl and wood. And then there's only three houses on my block. The rest is apartments. So the three houses are historical, and they're all built by the same architect. And my house has the vinyl windows now, where they're all matching throughout because they're all the same. The abandoned house next to me has the vinyl wood mix. And then Carolyn's house right next door, the third house, is 100% vinyl, and everything's the dimensions have all changed because it was redone prior to the historic district and someone had moved the windows and things like that. So it does, I think, doesn't negatively impact the neighborhood. I think there's an enclosed letter from my neighbors that they all support this getting resolved. And I did paint the vinyl to look more like a wood frame, even though it doesn't match my neighbors now because she's all vinyl, but I think it does look better. And I would love to get this process resolved so I can paint the house, because if any of you have driven by, you know the house is a little shabby on the second floor. So that's what my priority is getting the house painted, but that remains to be seen. So that's all I have to say about that. What I do wanted to point out on Tony's report, and again, I appreciate your time, Tony, in addressing this, is that you use the Zillow, you know, information in here, and I did use Zillow, but I also, my, you know, David Gala, who did the analysis on my house at 315 North K Street, I think on Zillow it was estimated at, oh my goodness, I'm needing reading glasses. So I think it was estimated at 219, and David Gala's estimate, which showed houses just a block away from me, coming in at 189. So that's a 13% difference, which doesn't seem like a lot. Well, it does when you get to those numbers. So I took the 624 North Ainsworth house that was listed at 306, and I took a 13% off that, and that's a $40,000 difference. The 807 North Cushman, 13% off that estimate that's in your little spreadsheet here, is a $43,000 difference. And the 620 North L Street, that came in at $217,000, 13% off that, is a $28,000 difference. When you add all that up, that's a $111,000 difference between what houses are actually selling for and what they're listed for on Zillow, which I thought was significant when you start adding them all together. But I think that, I mean, you just try to make your best estimate possible. And I was reluctant to, you know, give everyone copies of my tax schedule E's, but like Tony said, I have 3 years of a $25,000 loss, and then after that, nothing goes between below $10,000, I believe. $10,000, yeah, $10,000 loss. So, yeah, there we go. I am definitely open to entertaining questions if I can answer any.
Okay, at this time, I will open up discussion to comments and questions from commissioners.
Well, I have a question. Are you currently entertaining the idea of selling these houses?
No. No, I'm not.
So the actual value right now is irrelevant in a sense. What they are, what their market value is right now doesn't really have any bearing on anything unless you're selling in the near future.
Well, I have had one house for sale for the last year, actually, and I haven't had a single hit on it.
Okay,
so
you are
in that was just one house, and it was to help get out of the, you know, the $25,000 hole I've been in for the last 3 years. So, but there's been no hits on that, and after a year on the market, I actually took it off the market yesterday,
okay.
And I thought I'd just leave it off the market for a little while and try it again, because I would, yeah. But I'm not sure why we decided, Tony, if you could help me with that, why it's presented like I'm selling.
I guess that's the information I had. I didn't know it was on.
Oh, on the Cushman house. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I could put it back on the market. It's just...
Well, and I think you have been, because of your financial position, she has been thinking about selling. You know,
oh, I've been thinking about it, but when
you
see nothing moving on the market, and I have 11 friends that have gone Chapter 11 and
Chapter
7.
Well, I think the problem selling right now is that there would be no profit. She would take a
yeah.
large
oh, no,
loss.
I'm just trying to understand
the position. So I think that...
The rationale.
Yeah, I think that was definitely on the books, but now it doesn't even seem practical to try.
Now, are either the other two buildings in historic districts?
Yeah, oh, all of them, all of them.
Okay.
All of them. They're all within 4 blocks of each other.
And I don't know if I can talk. Can I say something more or not?
Sure.
Is that okay? Okay. I just want to state that Diane bought Fixer Properties and has really put a lot of effort and energy into fixing them up and has made all of these properties a lot nicer, and she's a very good landlord. She takes really good care for her tenants. And I think it's you know, really great. What she's tried to do here is make these properties quite a bit nicer and make the area nicer for everybody and for her tenants.
But instead of it being a business, it's more like a social service.
So, Tony, I had a question about your comment about, in the analysis about the current cash flow, that's a negative $21,544.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you explained that, but I wasn't quite clear about, I didn't quite catch what the explanation was.
Okay. It was the result of the information that was given to me on the IRS statement for income received for the rental properties and deducting the expenses from that. So it showed...
Like my Schedule E's?
Yes, Schedule E's.
And
I, it should probably just be net position of...
So the expenses that we're talking about here are expenses for maintaining those properties?
For maintaining them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks.
Well, our position is, we you know, to a certain extent, have guidelines that we're supposed to abide by. We always like people buying these homes and fixing them up. I mean, that's the whole point of all of this. We love it. It's just Secretary of State standards and our local ordinances that we are trying to enforce. So going forward, do you have a clear picture of what is required of buildings in historic districts?
Well, with windows, I certainly do.
And siding.
Oh yeah, no. Nothing's coming out of my house. In fact, I have a dry rot board in the front of my house, and I'm not replacing it because I'm not sure how to. And I know I'm fall through the
tell
these days.
Yes. okay, is there any possibility of having a plan for going forward?
Yes, I will come here going forward. I do have a window that needs to replace at my 807 North Cushman. It's a picture window, it's aluminum frame, and it's completely clouded over. So that needs to be replaced for my tenant, and that needs to come through here. But I can't replace it right now. But as soon as I do, I will be here.
Okay.
And
so I appreciate that. I'm concerned about this issue right here. In the future, is there a possibility that these windows could be replaced over time?
No, this is going to take me years to recover from, and I'm turning 50 this year. I mean, it's not like I'm making this big mistake at 30. You know, if I made this mistake at 30, and all the windows on the house match, the front was vinyl when I moved in, and I do know that that economic hardship has been, the North Slope Historic District has in their guidelines, that applying the guidelines, the commission will be considerate of clearly documented cases of economic hardship. So I think I clearly qualify for that, and I would like to ask for that.
Marshall,
do you want to say
anything? Have we moved beyond questions now?
No, we're still in the question period.
Well, are all your units rented at this point?
No.
Okay, how many units do you have that aren't rented?
One.
And I'm a little unclear as to why there's the negative cash flow.
Because I've been fixing them up.
Okay, so we're talking about payment on loans or whatever that you've taken out.
No, I try to pay everything as I go. It would be much smarter if I had done that.
Okay, but where's the negative cash flow coming from?
So I don't know if I can answer that question because I don't understand.
Well, according to the analysis, it says that there's a current cash flow shows a negative $21,544.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to get a handle on is you have all but one of the units rented.
Mm-hmm.
So where's...
They're not renting out for their mortgage payments.
Okay, so you're paying more for the mortgage than
absolutely.
You are getting in rent.
Correct. And then I,
okay.
on top of that, I do
okay.
utilities and
right.
pay.
That was what I was looking for.
Oh, yeah.
The whole cost, I believe, is much greater than what she can make from
yeah.
the rental income.
Okay. You mentioned that you had that you had rented out your room in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is that rented? Is that
mm-hmm.
currently rented?
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned that you had rented the garage,
mm-hmm.
and so you're renting the parking space there, or?
In front of my house?
You had mentioned that you had rented the garage.
Right, the garage was being rented for storage.
For storage, okay. And do you have any other properties beyond these that we're talking about here?
So how do you make up the difference?
I took out a $20,000 personal loan from my 401k.
And then you took out another loan that you're using to pay back your...
I borrowed money from family members.
Did I read that correctly?
I borrowed money from family members.
And I hate to have to put you through this is... You shouldn't
have
to.
That's nice, Beth. Because it's been a long...
It's just, we've been having struggles with this with so many people that they're watching us much more closely with these decisions, so we have to be able to firmly back up our decisions. That's why you just happen to be coming in at the wrong time, right time, whatever that is. We've been having trouble with this kind of thing. Well, so-and-so did it, and we let it go. So we're having to be very clear about how we justify decisions.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. That's why I was very, like I said, I was very reluctant to, you know, I mean, even my CPA, it's like, why would they want this information? And she's, and I, you know, we got to make it work.
This is just a really unique thing that doesn't happen all that often. I mean, I've been doing this for 10, 11 years, and I've never, ever been part of an economic hardship. Maybe I'm unusual for the rest
mm-hmm.
of you here, but
it's
a very unusual decision.
Two in 11 years.
I would also just, I don't know if this is the appropriate way to say it or not, but for the record, when I'm thinking for my justification for my decision, I'm actually not including the assessed value of your homes because in this market, everybody's lost
Everyone's
so much
hurt.
Money.
Yeah.
It's, I understand it's a large amount of money to lose, but that can't be a justification because then, again, everybody would be coming in and saying,
right.
I have financial hardship.
Are there other comments or questions from commissioners? Or a framework to form a motion?
Well, I would say, I was waiting to move beyond sort of questions and so forth, but I would recommend that the commission reject this application. And I would base it on three reasons. The first reason is that the decline in asset value for 315, as well as the other homes, is within the range of decline in residential housing values across Pierce County. There's nothing exceptional in that. I myself, for example, have lost $144,000 in the value of my home. The second reason is that the applicant hasn't made any attempt to mitigate in any alternative way any of the issues here. There's been no suggestion of perhaps doing some of the windows, to do it over time, any other kinds of restructuring the problem that might fit. And we've had that done in other instances with applicants who've come before the commission. And that, I think, is particularly problematic in this case. And the third reason is, of course, related to the other two, but that is basically the issue of fairness to the other property owners within the North Slope Historic District. We have had, of course, recently, in fact, at our last meeting, we had a property owner who came in and was, in fact, doing exactly, meeting the guidelines in terms of windows and so forth, even though I'm sure that that individual had also undergone a decrease in asset value of their property and so forth. I talked with a property owner just yesterday about they wanting to do some window work and what they needed to do and so forth. And again, I know that these people have suffered the same kinds of decrease in values. So I think that the third reason just has to do with the issue of fairness, is here we have an applicant who incurred a legal obligation, challenged the legal obligation. That challenge did not go through. Now they've come back to this commission and basically have said, based on their economic situation, that they shouldn't be required to do any of it. And so from the neighborhood perspective, I find that not an argument that I would like to see the commission accept. So those are my three reasons.
Okay. Comments from other commissioners?
I agree, and I'm struggling. One of the cases I remember, a young woman with a single mom, and she really wanted to do the right thing. We made some exceptions. We let her do some vinyl on the back and some upper stories up at the front, and I think the first floor were wood, so it was a compromise. So ones that were completely visible from the street were wood, and where they were less visible and not as critical, we let them go in vinyl or fiberglass. That's why I asked that question. Now, the thing is, the upper were vinyl, but the lower you replaced, is that correct?
No.
They were all vinyl.
No, the upper is all vinyl, and the lower ones, I don't know what they are. I mean, they're double pane. I know they're not aluminum.
No, I thought the upper ones were grandfathered.
Yeah, they're all grandfathered in. But the vinyl's on the top. It's the top two windows in the front. And then I have a picture window that I never did anything to. But that was a double pane when I moved in. And so are the two little side ones. Those are double pane.
So
there's
you
five.
You didn't replace them.
No, those are five windows on the front. And they're all double pane now. So.
And they were all grandfathered in.
Mm-hmm. The whole front of the house, yeah.
See, that's where we're stuck. Because they were grandfathered in, so those are the front, those are the critical ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't touch those.
But I was stuck on
They're not even
how...
part of this.
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
They're not part of this.
I'm just so is the situation that you do not want I mean
well, maybe
all
could...
the windows match now, but you want them all torn out?
Maybe we could do something like you mentioned you did with the other people, maybe some kind of compromise.
Okay. So you brought up the question about doing some now and later on.
Yep.
The price that Mrs. Cook got was to do them all at the same time, all 13 of them, which are in the back of the house. And on the side of the house, it's only 42 inches away from another house, but no one ever sees, and the three on the other side. If you change the tooling in any company when you order them, the factor doubles. The price can go from double of what Tony has received to triple if you spread it out over a period of time. Because a factory changes their line, and to retool to meet the criteria of making them all the same, spread out over a 3 to 5 year period, is very unreasonable, because it just doubles to triple the cost of the windows. Just a pure manufacturing, setting up the templates, putting out the product they had done. Maybe even it discontinued 5 years later.
We have not found that to be the case.
I have. If you go to Home Depot or any other ones, they have a product line now. And it's like the fiberglass combo wood. There is a wood clad with aluminum. Those are all new products because the wood ones don't hold up. They won't warranty it. So the wood window is a evolving thing to make it last in the Pacific Northwest corner.
Yes,
and
no,
if you build it to a certain size, you tool for it. And that's not a normal product. If you build three now, that'll be a substantial higher proportion than dividing that cost that Tony had received. You buy three more in another 3 years, who knows what the price will be then. They won't sell it to you that way. Excuse me for interrupting.
No, that's fine. I believe we've come to the point where we're having unproductive discussion, and I would call for a motion at this time.
Can I ask one something before
we're not done? Thank you.
I am done, and I will cut you off here.
He's in charge now, so you have to stop.
Please.
I just have one quick question to you, Diane, and just a simple yes or no, or maybe, I guess. But after hearing ex officio McClintock with all of his comments and on his three reasonings, would you be willing to compromise and make, so that we can find a happy medium to make sure that we retain this drug fabric?
Well, so I actually thought I did when I got together and met with Peter and my uncle and Tony a year ago. We talked about the possibility of fixing the solution with painting the vinyl on all the windows, so it would look more wood-like. But again, the people right next to me are vinyl, and then there's the wood mixed vinyl. So we, Peter and I talked about that, and that was something from 2010. So I did hire a painter that did go around the house and paint the vinyl, and I thought that was something that would help remediate the situation. And I think in addition to that, that I had worked with good faith with a department at the city that inappropriately informed me, and they have fixed their processes, and I think there was a letter written to the newspaper about fixing that. So I didn't intentionally do this. I did it in good faith.
I think that, but if that's what it takes to solve this, doing a compromise,
I think I did.
But they're saying that they need more.
What do you suggest?
Well, I don't think we can work that out at this meeting.
Yeah, that's kind of what's been missing in all of this, and that really has to come from you. And this has been drug out for years and years and years. And I think, just judging the mood of the commission right now, we're ready to deny your application right now.
Okay.
And I'm just about 2 seconds from making that motion.
Okay.
And I was hoping not to get to this point. But I will, at this point, I recommend to the Landmarks Preservation Commission that the application for 315 North K Street be denied. And we reaffirm our original determination on this, and also the hearing examiner's determination on this. Is there a second?
Reluctantly?
Is it too late for me to talk?
Yes.
Sorry.
Is there discussion on the motion? I'm willing to accept amendments.
Well, I just think it's unfortunate because, your sister seems like she's very, very lenient towards the idea of actually taking a step forward, meeting with us along the way. And that's what we all want. It's just keeping that historic fabric of that historic district. And that's the reason why they have those guidelines. And, and I do feel, I personally think you guys have had enough with the documentation, because I think it has been dragged out too long, and you've worked with Tony enough, but it's just a matter that we're asking on your side to work towards keeping that historic fabric.
And I thought I'd done that when I painted them and that they all matched, and I did think that because it was in the district guidelines that there was financial consideration, I thought I clearly had that. And I also thought, because I'd worked with the city for several years and used their recommended contractor, it was all with good intent, and I thought I had done my due process. And I think that there's no grant to help me do this, and you're aware of my financial situation. It would be inappropriate for me to say I can do something which I can't afford. I clearly cannot afford it. What about
at this point, I'd like to allow staff to make clarifications.
And just because my name is floating around in the painting of windows, just for clarification, I think it's in the record that I've seen that several statements on that, and maybe it was Peter who said that, but my recollection is that the windows were painted, and that was just something that you came in with for application.
No,
so
we had a meeting
I didn't ever say that. I just want to say.
Can I ask for
that's
clarification?
All.
Who is Peter Kaufman?
Oh, he is he's the director of Community Economic Development in Over Blues. So,
does he do anything with historic preservation?
He's the manager. No.
And you recommended that painting vinyl windows should be a
I'm sorry. Not in any meeting,
I
was
just,
I knew that she had painted them.
I mean, I certainly
and I don't know where the recommendation came from.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that.
No, I just, I second Ha that this is just, this is so sad, just start to finish. It's such a sad situation that it's sad on the landmark side that you got to three houses before, you know, like, so three houses were changed out. And I know that, or I think, I don't know, but I would think that you had the best of intentions when you were doing all of it, for sure. But it was just,
sure. I'm lowering people's electricity costs, but yeah, I'm doing something green. Yeah, Of course I did.
I know. I was just saying that.
You get rid of mold.
I didn't want to imply that I know you because I know I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think with my heart that you do have the very best of intentions. It's just, it's sad from our perspective that it got to the third house. So there's three houses that have vinyl windows that didn't, and you know, and I know that it, from an outside perspective, it would make more sense for them all to look alike, and I mean, I understand that, but from our perspective, it's, since keeping the original is, you know, what we would prefer, that replacing the vinyl at all is actually problematic. And anyway, I felt like maybe that somehow.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Are there any other discussion items from commissioners? At this time, we will proceed to vote. We can do it one of two ways. We can do it by show of hands, or we can do it by voice vote. I'll attempt by voice vote, and if it's close, we will go to a show of hands. All those in favor of the motion before us, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Okay.
So
I think it was 2-3, so we will cast votes by a show of hands. All those in favor, make positive. All those opposed, 4-2. Okay, it fails. We have to craft another motion then.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I probably was going to continue with unhelpful discussions.
Well, to throw my two cents in, I don't disagree necessarily with what anybody has said, but I also believe that economic hardship has been shown. And therefore, I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission accept the application for economic hardship for the address of 315 North K.
I second that.
We have a motion and second. Is there discussion?
Well, can we add on a contingency on the fact that they work with us to just to I see your sister is like she's eager to
she's not
work with
her.
Us. I know. But I can tell you're very resistant to it and I
amendments
just ask
are
that
acceptable.
You would just
so if you want to make
so
an amendment
I make amendment that you know that the owner work with staff to make the restoration in compliance with the Secretary of Interior standards.
Is that acceptable to the motion and second?
I can accept that.
That's so. Sorry.
It's vague.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think that it's pretty vague that if that motion is that there be a plan presented to the board that we can approve then some sort of remediation, some sort of a plan so that we're moving in a direction
And a timetable.
And a timetable, yeah.
Would it come back to the board to...
If before, well, we'd have to make the stipulation that before the actual hardship is granted, that there has to be a plan in place and a means of enforcement.
Okay.
That's the problem. It's a yes or no question. In many ways, I know.
Okay.
So my understanding of the amendment is to come back with
a clear plan.
A plan proposed, I mean, worked out between staff and the applicant and bring it back to the commission within a certain amount of time as well. That wasn't mentioned.
Yeah.
But that's
you have to stipulate a timetable. And a means of enforcement in which it's been in enforcement for a while. It, you know, until it would stay in enforcement for the time of remediation, but there would be no fines imposed. I don't know that we have the authority to do that, but while it would...
We can recommend it.
We can recommend it that the property would stay in enforcement until the remediation is completed, and as long as it stays within the timetable.
Okay, so I guess I move that we amend that the applicant provide a clear plan of the restoration work and with working with staff. I guess, I don't know.
Can I ask for clarification? If you're making this motion, does this mean that we're giving her economic hardship and therefore the windows are forgiven, or that we're saying this is not?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
that's
why this doesn't make sense.
That's why this it's a yes or no question.
Yeah,
maybe there's either hardship or there isn't hardship.
Yeah,
that's thank you.
I am too.
But there's a motion on the table, so it has to.
Yes.
It's
been motion and second, and this is discussion on it. So the amendment runs counter to the motion, so therefore cannot proceed. Are there any other amendments that want to be made? If not, we'll proceed to vote. And if it's close again, I will go to a show of hands. All those in favor of the motion before us to render hardship as plausible, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. No. I think it's the same 4 and 2. Okay. I think it's 4 to 2, and I think it passes. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that correct? You voted affirmative?
Yes, I voted.
Okay,
affirmative.
All right, it's 4 to 2.
Four to
then,
two.
So. All right.
Would the amendment?
No.
No, we vanquished the amendment because it was counter to the motion. So that vanquishes that. I hope this is a learning experience for you and most of us. This has gone on way, way too long.
What happened?
So
sorry.
What
happened?
I want to
thank you. Oh. She's saying I kind of heard you now because it was really.
It's hard because it's as I was saying, it's sad for us to not have any recourse on Three Hopes now.
And I appreciate that. I know it's a difficult situation. So thank you very much.
I'd like to allow staff to make clarification.
No, just we'll have a written decision sent to you in the next few days, and I'll also let the city attorney and also enforcement know of the decision.
Okay, thank
that
you.
It was granted.
So when you make lots of money and the economy is recovering, will you change the front windows?
I would love to.
Front windows. Is the picture picture window. It's original.
No. It's double pane.
But it looks like it's wood around it.
You know, I don't even know.
I think they just put a double pane in.
But everything's. I don't know. I'll go look.
Two uppers in the house.
I think they have full application.
And we're all right here.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
That'll be expensive.
I think we have reached the period where it's time for Chair's comments, if he has any, staff comments, or announcements from commissioners.
Just a reminder that there is an Architectural Review Committee meeting next Wednesday.
And is it someplace different? Where is it?
It is different place. And
it is.
I can't remember where it is. It's 148 or something. It's downstairs.
All right.
Thank you very much.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.